Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. This class is a tremendous class. I must thank you, Alyssa, for hosting. This is our first class back, my first class back.
And this is my first class ever.
To begin with this learning, it is also very relevant because this week's parashas are Tazria and Metzorah. When the Torah calls our attention to the Metzorah, he is called the Metzorah because he was Motzi Shem Ra. So Hashem arranges everything that's supposed to be. Here we are. We are learning L'Iluy Nishmas. And the Zecher Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Alav Hashem Ben Yoel V'Chana May His Neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our learning. Let's begin with the Tzvi Al Hadibur, please. Inside that. Excuse me. Ribono Shel Olam Yiratzam Afanecha Al Rachum V'Chana Shetazakeinu Hayim U'V'Chol Yom Lishmar Piyu Lishoni Milashon Hara U'V'Chilis V'Ezahar Miladaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid V'Kol Shekein Al Klal Yisrael Al Chilak Mehem V'Kol Shekein L'Yisrael Al Midosav Shel Kol Shbaruchu V'Ezahar Miladaber Divrei Sheker Chanufa Machlokas Ka'as Gaiva Onas Varam Abanas Panim Leitzanis V'Chol Dibur Asir V'Zakeinu Shel Daber Kim Daber Hatzarich L'Inyanei Gufi V'Nafshi Yukam Now, before we turn to the Sefer, I just want to note a few things. Today's learning, specifically in regard to Parshas Tazri and Metzorah, because this is when the Torah calls our attention to the Negatzara'as, which comes from the sin of Lashon Hara. Before we even get to that, I just want to note that today, and I'm not saying this is a political comment, but just it is important to note that today is Yom HaShoah. I was thinking to myself last night that they just came out with a study, and they came out with a study that the third generation of post-Holocaust, which is myself, and someone specifically was four grandparents who survived the Holocaust, has higher anxiety in regard to ISIS, in regard to worries of future attacks. My mother sent me a cue WhatsApp. She says, they didn't need to do a study. They could have just asked me, and I would have told them. My four grandparents all survived the Holocaust. They all lost their children from their first families before they survived the Holocaust. So something that we are very zochim fortunate to have in my family is my grandfather's memoirs. It's 7 pages, and it's called In 7 Camps. In 3 years, by my grandfather Yitzchak Ben Moshe, Yitzchak Kaftan, Alav Hashem. I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs from his memoirs. First of all, he got married at the end of 1939. It was in Poland. At the end of 39, the war had already started. In the winter of 1941, marked by the weekly reading of Beshalach, my wife gave birth to a daughter, to whom we named Devorah, according to the Haftorah of Beshalach. With each day, the situation became worse and worse, and not only was his wife murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron, but so was his daughter, Devorah. So I'm just going to read, now I'm not going to read you the 7 pages, one excerpt. I shall never forget that Yom Kippur, whenever he's talking about in 1942, that Yom Kippur, when everyone realized the forthcoming catastrophe, we gathered at Reb Peretz Shochet's for Kol Nidre. When I passed through the street where my first Rebbe, Rev Avram Brand, lived, I saw him sitting by the door. He was dressed as if for a voyage. This was written in Yiddish. My mother had it professionally translated a number of years ago for us. He was sitting by the door as if dressed for a voyage. And I said to him, Rebbe, what are you waiting for? I am waiting for death's arrival. That was his answer. Shabbos after Sukkot in 1942, the darkest year in the Jewish history, everyone knew there would be an Auslang, which is a count, as it was euphemistically called. My wife and I and our 18-month-old daughter went to an open camp, which was called P Park. There were several hundred Jews already there. Before noon on Shabbos, we were hurried from the barracks. We could see the long boxcars, which were usually used to transport fruit. They were ready and prepared for the unfortunate Jews of Krasnik. I remember well the last good day from my father on the eve of that horrifying Black Shabbos. I went to P Park. He said to me, be well. And with tears in his eyes, my father said, try to save yourself. I did not see my father or my sisters anymore. In the morning on Shabbos, they heard us from the barracks. 83 young Jews were chosen to work, while the older men, women, and children were gathered before our eyes, hurried to the train station where other Jews were already waiting from the city. They herded everyone into the boxcars, and the transport with the unfortunates rolled past. Their final be well wafted to us through the dilapidated openings. So, Tei Zichron Baruch, all the Kedoshim who were murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, who live, Al Kiddush Hashem, Umach Hashem Dima, may Al Kol Panim, Becherpes Amo Yasir, may Al Kol Haaretz, Ki Hashem Diber, we should be Zochet to see. It's still Nisan. That's still Nisa. V'nisin negalu, v'nisin asidin l'ga'al. We should be zorach. Fortunately, I was at a levaya yesterday, and Rabbi Teilbaum said at the end of the levaya, we don't conclude with kel malei rachamim because it is the month of redemption. We still have a little bit of time in this month of redemption for the geula to come. Okay, with that as our introduction, as I said, I did prepare inside the Sefer, but it is Parshios Tezriya and Metzora, and this is specifically a cast on Shmiras HaLashon, and Tezriya and Metzora are the Parshios in the Torah. Yes, there are, as the Chofetz Chaim points out, interspersed throughout the Torah, many Azharos regarding Shmiras HaLashon, but these Parshios specifically want us to focus on the Azhar of Lashon Har. Metzora, is what I said in the beginning, is the Motzi Shemra. And the Pasuk says, Hatzeru Asher Bo HaNega, the one who has Tsaras, that has the affliction. Begadav yefrumim, he has shall tear his garments like a mourner. Verosha yeparua, his head shall be unshorn. But al safam ya'ata, he shall cloak himself with a mustache, so he's not allowed to cut his hair. Mamish has to tear kriya. Vatame tame yikra, he has to call out impure about himself. Mashmiya shu tame, says Rashi, he informs others, the same mouth, it's such poetic justice. It's such a mida keneged mida. The same mouth that was used to bring shame upon someone else is now used to bring shame upon himself. V'yifreshu mimenu. He informs others, says Rashi, that is he impure, so they will keep away from him. Lashon hara, rechilas, motzi, shemra, causes others to stay away from a specific person. Everyone talks negatively about Sarah, and all of a sudden, think of a clique, or in high school, rechman son, the girls are over bas mitzvah, think of adults and a neighbor. All of a sudden, nobody wants to have anything to do with that Sarah. She's weird, she doesn't dress well, she said this, she said that, and motzi, shemra. So we cause separation between us and the subject. So the Torah really, b'midah she'ad mode ba modedin also. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, this is what will be done to you. Call yimei asher hanegabo yitma. All the days that he has the affliction, he is tamei, tameihu, badad yeshev, he must dwell in isolation, michutz l'machana moshavo, his dwelling is outside of the camp. Shelo yushar tmeim yoshvim imo. So you would think he's allowed to sit with who? Other people who are tame. You're a tame, I'm tame, so we can be metame each other. Saras is not something that's catchy. I can't pass it on to you. It's a physical affliction, but it is a spiritual malady. I can't pass it on to the next person, so why can't I dwell with you? You're a tame, I'm tame from Saras, so let's sit together. You can't catch it? Absolutely not. Amru Rabba Seinu, Manishtana Chmishar Tmeim. And, I ponder when I come to the parashas of Tezriya and Mitzora. Not really. But when it comes to Parshas Tzumim, you think you learned this last year, but Chas V'Sham, you learned it last year, but the Torah says read it again and again and learn it again, because who doesn't need the reminder once again of the sin of Lashon Hara, the consequences of Lashon Hara, the affliction and the divide it causes? Manishtana Mishar Tmeim, what is the difference between this and all others who are impure? Leishe Bedad, he has to dafka, dwell in solitary isolation. Ho il v'hu hivtil ben ish l'ishto, he caused the divide between man and wife, ubein ish l're'ehu, a man and friend. So he has to be separated. Where does he have to dwell? Outside of all three camps. Not only can he go into Machana Shechina, not only can he go into Machana Levia, he can't even go into Machana Yisrael. He has to sit isolated outside of all three camps. That is delineated for us in Parshas Tezriya. A couple more psukim from Parshas Metzora, and then I'll tell you some insights. Vayidab Hashem Moshe Lemer, Zostia Torah HaMetzora B'yam Torah. So this is the law. What's that?
No, she's just telling me that you don't catch.
So we're doing the Sefer, we're doing the Shmiras HaLashon class, but we said that this week's parashas are Tezriya and Metzora. And in a Sefer that is on Shmiras HaLashon, it is timely, relevant, opportune, and important to recall the lessons in this week's parashios. Torah HaMetzora, by the way, this is not what I'm teaching in Parashkas this week. For those who come to Parashkas, not the same. Torah HaMetzora b'yom Torah. So this will be the law of the Metzora on the day that he is to become purified. Excuse me, he shall be brought to the Kohen. V'yatza Kohen ha-mechutz ha-machana. The Kohen actually goes to him, and the Kohen sees, and he is healed. The affliction of Tzaras is healed. So the Kohen commends the one who is undergoing the purification. What does he have to bring? Shtei tziporim, two birds. Okay, a unique korban, chayos tahoros, live pure birds. So what does Rashi say? Who remembers why birds? Why do you think? Okay, pratlo. Okay, lefisha negaim ba'na lashon hara. Rashi says pasha, because the afflictions come for lashon hara. Shehu maase pit Pute Dvarim. By the way, it's funny how art school translates these words of Rashi. Shehu ma'ase pit pute dvarim, which is an act of verbal twittering. Nothing is an accident. It's unbelievable to contemplate how today with technology it is so simple to spread this verbal twittering in mere seconds. So because Lashon Hara comes about from an act of verbal twittering, this is actually what Rashi says, Lefichach huz kekul l'tahara, so he is required for his purification to bring birds, shemipat pitin tamid, who constantly twitter, b'tziftzuf kol, with the chirping of a sound. So again, there is a tremendous illusion here. You were over with the constant twittering, bring birds that twitter. He also to bring eitz erez, cedar wood. Why? Does anyone remember why cedar wood? So it's something that we've spoken about, Dafka, before we broke for Pesach. Our class took a break for Pesach, and we said that someone who speaks Lashon Hara about others, remember the story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, we quoted it from the book of Rav Feldman, Ashlita, that someone who, the two children were fighting. Remember the story? The two children were fighting. Who's taller? So finally someone pushed one to the ground. A pushed B to the ground, and A said, I'm taller. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was walking by, and what did he say?
Stand on a stool.
You didn't need to push him down. You could have stood on a box. There's two. You don't have to make someone feel smaller. It comes from gaiva. It comes from ego. That's what Rashi says. Nega'im ban agasus haruach. The affliction of Lashon Hara comes for haughtiness. I feel haughty. I make myself bigger by pushing someone else down. Therefore, we bring cedar wood. It's a tall, beautiful tree. You think you're so great, like the cedar. Ushni tolas, crimson tongue of wool, the ezov and hyssop. Shni tolas also alludes to he should lower himself from his arrogance like a worm. Ketolas, tolas is a worm. Lower yourself like a worm and bring a stick of cedar. So we see that in the affliction and in the spiritual illness, physical manifestations, and in the healing, there are many allusions to the sin of what the person did, and it is also very much mida kenega mida. By the way, for your own interest, because it was a question that came up last year in parsha class, so I think it's relevant to point out, a woman can also have tzaras. The Rambam speaks about this. This is not just for men. The women also can be afflicted by the same plague, which makes sense. Why not? Okay? The Gemara says 10 measures of sicha came to the world and women took 9. So certainly, now it can be translated very nicely, that can explain beautifully. So people laugh, you know, women talk more. 10 measures of conversation came to the world and women took 9. But sicha also means something else. What does sicha mean?
Tefila.
Yitzchak went to daven, Rashi says, lashon tefila. So in the positive spin, 10 measures of sicha, prayer, came to the world. Woman took 9. So it reminds us of Koach HaDibur. But also on the level of pshat, woman took a lot of modes of conversation. So we have to be very careful. So related to Yom HaShoah, and I quoted from my grandfather, Alav HaShalom, the Parashios. So this relates both to Amalek, Yimach Shman V'Zichram, and it also relates to Koach HaDibur. I'm quoting from Rav Pesach Gron's new book, Illuminations of the Maggid. Tragically, he writes, history, it's by the way, it's called Weapons of Mass Destruction. Tragically, history repeats itself. From Amalek's first attack on Israel against Israel in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, nations have made war against our people, be it arrows, cannon fire, missiles, rockets, in the gas chambers. We have to dodge them and defend ourselves. We have been outnumbered and outmuscled, but thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael is still here. So he quotes, Rabbi Moshe Berkowitz wrote the following on Hamodia. It occurred in Tammuz 1809. So we're going back 200 years ago to the time of the Jews of Pressburg. It's fascinating. They were running from shelter from the attacking army of Napoleon. Unbelievable. The Chassam Sofer summoned the Jewish community to a tefillah gathering, talking about Sicha in the Great Shul, and he gave the following message. Guy brought down the Chassam Sofer. The enemy, he said, how should we save ourselves? The cannons are coming. Amalek, the Jews are always worried. I was talking to somebody who was in Venice over Pesach, and he said that there are 4 different shuls, 500 to 600 years old. I said, the Jews go there because of anti-Semitism. He says they went for commerce, but they toured the shuls. One shul, for example, that's 600 years old, has an underground passage in the floor. It takes you out the back way. Why do you think they had that? Because when they came in to kill you and you're in the middle of davening, what's everyone going to do? Where are you going to escape? Through the passage underground that takes you out to the street level. 600 years ago. So the enemy, said the Chasam Sofer, is threatening us with destruction by cannon fire. The cannons are similar to arrows of earlier times, and today you could say they have missiles. It always advances from the arrows. But we have arrows of our own, said the Chasam Sofer, to combat their arrows. Their destructive arrows are effective when they are shot. Our arrows are effective when they are not shot. So what do you think he's talking about? Which arrows should we not shoot? And we have spoken about this before. The Chasam Sofer explained, he quotes the prophet Yirmiyahu from Perek Tas, Chetz shachu l'shonam, mirma diber, their tongue is like a drawn arrow speaking deceit. Chazal and the Gemara teach these arrows are what? Slanderous words. So we mamish have an arrow. So imagine, God forbid, Rahman Salno Leinu, facing, you know, a shooting squad today or something we can't fathom. I saw there was a terror attack yesterday in Tel Aviv. There was a stabbing. But if Baruch Hashem, no one's killed, then it barely even makes the news. We're so used to the stab. It barely even makes the news. Or if we're lightly injured, who determines what's lightly injured? I always think to myself, I don't know if you saw that over Pesach, a girl was killed on the light rail by Shari Yafo. Friday afternoon. You know those trains are like Friday afternoon. A British student, a 21-year-old girl, who is an only child. So I think to myself, does it hurt? No, I'm being serious. Before the Nifter, does it actually hurt, or is the pain so intense it doesn't, or we should never know? So those are their arrows. But what are our arrows, say Chazal? Slanderous words. So could you imagine the power of Lashon Hara Motzi Shema if Chazal compared to their arrows, to their blades, to their knives? That's what Chazal are saying. That's what your words are. The Chasam Sofer explained, in order to prevent their arrows from reaching us, we have to do the opposite. When we hold back our arrows, it prevents their arrows. Our holding back holds back their arrows. You know that Chazal taught, just as an arrow can be fired from one place to another and do damage in the distance, the spears of Lashon Hara can do the same and even worse. So this is what the Chasam Sofer taught 200 years ago. The arrow shoots over a distance. So the Chasam Sofer said that's what words are like. So what would he say of today? And you could pick up your phone and shoot your words across the world in an instant. With the technology available today, email, text can place one person's reputation literally around the world, speed faster than a rocket. And it's true. We know everything Hashem does is measure for measure. So Rabbi Cohen says, perhaps the next time we're ready to fire our arrow of mass destruction, let's hold our fire. And perhaps that holding of the fire will be a zchus for them to hold their fire. Interesting, he notes that in the description of his sons who hated Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, on his deathbed at the end of Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu said, Vayis temuhu ba'alei chitzim, the arrow-tongued men hated him. He speaks about the brothers of Yosef as arrow-tongued men. And what does the pasuk say? V'lo yachu dabu sham v'yisnu also v'yikana bo echav v'lo yachu dabu l'sham. It's exactly what the pasuk says. They hate him, they're jealous of him, and they can't speak to him in peace. And what does Yaakov Avinu says? Arrow-tongued men. So it is reported that the people of Pressburg heeded the Chafetz Chaim's words, they undertook tshuva, and the cannon fire did not harm any Jews. So certainly it is a stirring lesson for us in our time when we are facing terrible and bitter enemies once again, that perhaps, you know, in the Merava Lashon Hara, okay, the Gemara tells us the Lashon Hara kills three people, the speaker, the listener, the subject, but there are far-reaching effects that perhaps we can't fathom that we should maybe take into account, that when I hold my weapon, my arrow, perhaps will be a schuss for them to hold their weapon and their arrow, and it's something that we have to ponder and keep in mind, yes?
I also heard, another take, because our weapon could be verbally in a good way. I think it was Robertson coming on, which said when there was missiles being shot into Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, they're called Tilim. So he said we should fight their Tilim with our Tehillim.
There.
Tilim is missiles.
Oh, Tilim, right. Oh, very nice.
What's Tilim?
I never heard
missiles.
That. Very nice. Okay. One more thing, one more insight from Rav Kook, Zetzal, and then if there's time, we will get to Sefer. Are you okay? You want me to go straight to Sefer? Okay. Again, this is what I'm teaching in Parash class, prepared specifically this, but I think that it's very relevant, and we'd be remiss in a class on Shemir Salashan if we did not focus on insights from this Parash. So Rav Kook brings us a beautiful insight in regard to the power of speech, which is really what we're learning here for this past year. Okay, so Rav Kook says, what is the root cause of the disease of Tzara? Us. The Medrash says the skin disorder is a punishment for gossip and slander, which we know. And again, we've said it many times, the learning here should not be just while you're sitting here. What's the point? Spread, I mean, it's very nice.
Spread it.
What?
Spread it. Spread it. What's the point of just learning it for yourself if you don't share it with other people?
Okay, very nice. We also have to make sure that with ourselves, it has ramification and impact. So we haven't learned here for a month. This just happened. So this class should carry us through our lives. I was somewhere particular with my family. I don't want to give any identifying details. I saw a certain situation that normally I would have discussed with my husband. Not even as like bad lashon hara, just a situation of concern with somebody else, like real concern. Like, but then I realized if I discuss with him, it's about somebody else. But like, I see something is wrong, very much a concern. I can't accomplish anything by discussing with my husband. So what's the point?
Well, you're venting.
What?
You're venting.
Right, correct. That's what Rabbi White says. You're allowed to vent to a close confidant. But this is not a situation that I can fix anything or do anything, so what's the point? And it was something that normally I would have absolutely told my concerns, not like a bad thing, a tremendous worry or concern. I'm not saying anything because it's not about us or our family, and I can't accomplish anything. So there's no point in the venting. So the key is that we have to carry this with us. A person suffering from tzaras is called a metzora because the Gemara tells us it's a motzi shemra. We spoke about this. Okay, here we come to an interesting question. Rav Kook says, given that tzaras is brought about by slander, one would expect all people would be afflicted. Why only Jews? Why only Klal Yisrael? Why not? Everybody from the Umas Olam. Anyone talks could imagine what the world would look like. The whole place would be walking around with tzaras. Why should only the Jewish people suffer from this ailment? It's a very interesting question. So now he says you have to understand what's the root of speech. What is the root of speech? There's two types of speech. There's everyday speech. Okay, we talk about what occurs in the material universe. And there's a higher form of speech. And that is holy speech God bestowed upon Israel. So when we talk about speech, we think everyone has the same kolach hadibur. And it began in Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin when Adam HaRishon was created. Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chai. Targum Unkos famously says, "V'havas Adam LeRuach Memala." Man became a speaking spirit. So all of mankind has Koach HaDibur. So what differentiates Klal Yisrael from everybody else? So there's a difference. There's two kinds of speech. There's speech of the material, and there's speech of the Ribono Shel Olam's gift, which is spiritual, elevated speech. Listen to this. Our elevated speech does not originate in the physical world. This is a very deep concept. Elevated speech does not originate in the physical world. But don't you think of speech that is something totally, totally what? Physical. It's gashmius. I use my tongue. I use my lips. I use my pharynx. I don't know what else do we use to make speech. Breath, esophagus, everything, teeth. It's all physical. But no, it does not originate, doesn't have its root in the physical world. On the contrary, the world originates from speech. The world emanates from speech, not speech emanates from the world. Are you with me? Do you understand what we're saying? It's very deep. This is the speech through which God created the world. Does the pasuk say? Okay, so why? What are you saying?
Everything was created through speech.
Shahakol bidvar. Very nice. When I usually say the bracha, I focus on shahakol. Everything, all my nisyonos, all our struggles, all our trials as a people is created. But you're saying we can focus on shahakol bidvar, focus on the word. Everything was created through his word. That's exactly what Rav Kook is speaking about. He quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Kapitol Amid Gimel, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. By the word of God, the heavens were made. So what came first? The word, speech, bidvaro, or heavens. What came first? Word. And that's where our speech originates from. It's not mundane. It's not material. The source of our speech is from a much higher source. Hashem created the world through this speech. He talked about Rais Uvar Alma. He looked in the Torah. The Torah was all the words. He created the world. The speech preceded the world. And then God gave us this gift of speech. Okay. Interesting then, he talks about Pesach. And Tazria Matura, I believe, always occur after Pesach. The Hebrew name for Pesach is, well, the Hebrew name for Passover is Pesach. So Peh. Pei hey, sach. We just spoke about sicha. What is sicha? Besides for prayer, means speech. Conversation or speech. Pei hey, sach. Sin ches. The mouth speaks. Okay? The redemption from Egypt which paved the way to Har Sinai, which is, by the way, where we're counting. We left Egypt and we're counting towards Har Sinai, redeemed the faculty of speech. The people in Mitzrayim had no speech. They couldn't talk. Who were they going to talk to? The guy in the next barrack, who's suffering also, whose wife and children just went up in the crematory, you're going to tell him about your problems? Who are you going to talk to? You're not allowed to talk in roll call. You're not allowed to talk when you're making bricks. You can't talk when they're throwing into the Nile River. They absolutely lost the capacity of speech. Pesach redeemed us, and therefore it's commemorated through Vehigadatal Bincha. Pesach, open your mouth to show you are a free, a redeemed people. And he brings up a beautiful point. One of the reasons Moshe refused to go, what did he say? Moshe understood this, and he was afraid of that. Ki lo ish devarim anochi. I am not that man of words, said Moshe Rabbeinu. He was afraid to tap into that koach adibur. So Rav Kook says, okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. Okay, so is everyone with me so far? The soul is elevated, he says. We become aware of the tremendous power that lies in the faculty of speech, which is really what, like Shandy says, that sometimes you're not allowed to talk. Right? Because as you become aware of the power, the koach adibur, you realize how much of what we say, perhaps, is not what we are meant to say. We clearly recognize the tremendous significance of each utterance, of tefillah, of brachos, of Torah study, of all of our discourse, the impact of speech. Then he quotes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says it's brought down Talmid Rishami. Had I been present at Har Sinai? Remember, we left Mitzrayim, we didn't have koach adibur. What happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim? What did we gain besides for physical redemption? Spiritual freedom, represented in Pesach, open your mouth, because we said our speech doesn't originate in this world. Where does our speech originate from? A much higher world, the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we talk elevated speech, we're not accessing the material world. Do you know how profound that is? How frightening that is? You're accessing a deep root of a neshama, a spiritual world, directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Hashem gave us on Pesach. And where do we go to? Har Sinai. Take that speech and go to Har Sinai with it. Had I been present at Har Sinai, Sir Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I would have requested two mouths. One mouth to say words of Torah, Talmid Rishami Baseches Brachos, and one mouth for mundane needs. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I don't want to mix things over here. I want to have one mouth for Torah, Chesed, Brachos, Tefillah, and one mouth to talk about what I need from the grocery store. But then he continues, it's not quoted here, but when we realize how much trouble we have with one, who wants to take care of? Two. But it's true. Think about the way Hashem created your body. How many eyes? How many ears? How many nostrils? How many hands? How many feet? How many arms? How many legs? How many mouths? Isn't that interesting? Don't leave it. So I just thought of something. Everything is symmetrical and two and balanced and you're one. But I just thought of something. Whoa, Baruch Bokeh Ivrim. Wow. Ready? We're saying that speech, based on teachings of Rav Kook, by the way, Bavavi Mishkan Evna also speaks about this, that Bavavi Mishkan Ezra goes into this in depth, Rav Itamar Schwartz, that speech is not a manifestation of the guf. He says speech emanates in the soul. If speech emanates in the soul, and every soul is a chelek elokai mimal, my soul is a part of who? Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh my gosh. And speech emanates from the soul, and it makes sense that there's only one. Why? Because what?
One soul.
No, there's one.
Because if speech is actually a manifestation of my soul, which Bavavi Mishkan Evna goes to in depth, which Rav Kook is quoting over here, we think speech is material. I breathe. That's gashmus. I form my lips, my tongue, my teeth. Look how much is needed for speech. My larynx, my esophagus, my air, my palate, my gums. So I think it's totally physical, but it's absolutely not true. That's not true. Speech is spiritual. So now it makes sense why we only have one mouth. Because Hashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I was just reading this morning, President Reuven Rivlin hosted a woman, I don't remember her name, she forgive me, and who related her Holocaust story. And she said her whole family was killed, etc. Her and only one brother survived. They went to Eretz Yisrael after the brother was 16. And what happened to him in the war of 1948, the War of Independence? He survived the Holocaust. Went to Israel. What happened in 1948? he was killed in the war. But she says towards the end of the war, they were hiding and they heard footsteps and they just kept saying over Shema Yisrael, hoping that they would be saved, but she was saved. But if speech emanates from the neshama and Hashem is Echad, then it makes sense that there's only one mouth because the source of my speech is Ribono Sholom. Okay? Therefore, with this appreciation for the holy power of speech, we may understand why Tzaraas, remember the original question, why does Tzaraas only affect the Jewish people? Now we may understand why. Because our faculty of speech is not like the faculty of speech of the Umos HaOlam. We have an elevated neshama. And coming up to Har Sinai, when we all said Nasav Nishma, Yishmal, do you want it? Esav, do you want it? What's written there? Don't steal, it's not for me. Don't kill, don't do adultery, it's not for me. Klai Yisrael said, whatever's in there, we'll take it. Though we have an elevated, enhanced connection through our neshama to Ribono Shel Olam, our divine speech transcends the universe. He says it can influence the world for good or bad. And now we understand why it only occurs to Klai Yisrael, because it's a spiritual affliction. Whose speech is of a spiritual source? The affliction of Tzara'as therefore comes to actually repair the damage. It's a sign to us. It's actually a chesed. You're doing wrong. The verbal communication of other nations is rooted in the physical universe, and ours is rooted in the spiritual universe. And so, wait, now one more thing. When I was thinking, why does Tzara'as, is everyone with me? Why is our speech, when we abuse our speech, we are afflicted with Tzara'as? And the Umas Olam are not. Why? Why? What did we just say? Ladies, why did we say we are afflicted with Tzara'as, the Umas Olam are not? Why? Because our speech is a spiritual source. Their speech is a physical source. Yes, that's what we said. That's why we have one mouth. Why? If my speech is a manifestation of my soul, and my soul is part of God, and how many gods are there? Obviously one, that's a rhetorical question. So I have one mouth to demonstrate that my speech comes from that one Ribono Shel Olam. So now we can understand something else. Why is Tzara'as? So this, after I read this piece by Rav Cook, I think we can answer another question. If speech is spiritual, why is Tzara'as a physical malady? Do something else to show me that. Why does a dafka represent as physical on your body, on your walls of your home, on your clothing? Why is there a physical manifestation if my speech is spiritual? Do you understand the question? So perhaps you can answer as follows. I made my speech. By abusing speech, I made it physical. It was a spiritual bracha, a spiritual root. But I showed the Ribono Shel Olam, I want to be on the same physical level as everybody else. Don't bother me with the spiritual. Don't bother me with these high levels. I want my speech to be debased on physical. So what does Hashem say? Mida keneged mida? You want your speech to be physical? Okay, so you'll be physical. And therefore, it's a ask manifest as a physical malady because it shows what we did with our speech. Not only did we abuse it, but we brought it down from the highest level of shakon nehiya bidvaro, of emulating the Ribono Shel Olam through kol chadibur. We brought it to such a low level of physicality, of abuse, that Kavosh Baruch Hu said so, it'll be a physical manifestation to demonstrate how we have abused and misused our kol chadibur. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Measure.
Say it again, please.
It's measure for measure. It's measure for measure.
Absolutely. So it's another added element of measure for measure. Now that we understand what Rav Cook teaches, that speech is spiritual, but with Tzara'as we make it physical, speech, the root. Now we understand why our affliction is physical. It's absolutely mida keneged mida. Just like he sits outside the camp, measure for measure. Just like he has to tell everyone he's tamei, measure for measure. He uses his mouth to embarrass himself. Akash Baruch Hu sends him the affliction, measure for measure. You made your speech physical, not rooted in the spiritual, and therefore I will afflict you with a physical malady. Yes?
No, so they only had this punishment after Kabbalah Satora. So in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, I see now why you're not, they didn't have the obligation of not speaking Lashon Hara in Mitzrayim. So why did he blame them for not being?
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when he sees Dasam and Viram, right, hitting each other. And then Rashi says there, Achein Noda Hadavar, says the Pasuk, the matter has been known. Moshe looks left and right. He realizes he has to flee. He says, Achein Noda Hadavar, the matter has been known. What matter has been known? That I killed the Mitzri and I have to run away. But Rashi says there, he sees something else, that amongst Kali Yisrael there are informers, and therefore he has to know. Is that what you're referring to? But you're saying, what are you saying?
So why was Moshe Rabbeinu saying that this is why they're not being redeemed if they weren't given that, there was no
obligated, yeah. Right. Okay, so what's interesting is the mentor says there are four things for which Kali Yisrael was not nichshel in four things for which they were redeemed, because we're on the 49th level of impurity. We're of Avodah Zarah. When Moshe says to Zkeni, Mishchu ukechu lachem tzon, draw your hand away and take for yourself a sheep for the Karban Pesach. So Rashi says there, draw your hand away. They were, take your hand away from Avodah Zarah. But there were four things we did not do. We kept our names. We kept our language. We did not intermarry. And the Medrash says we didn't talk Lashon Hara.
That's why I never understood that. Then if Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, now I understand, why they're not being redeemed, because they were informers.
Okay.
So they were speaking Lashon Hara.
Those two people, but we know Dasam and Virum were big troublemakers.
Right, but he was saying, but then just because of those two troublemakers, they weren't being redeemed?
Okay, so I need to see the Rashi inside to look at the exact Lashon. I think I understand... I'm not sure I understand your question.
No, my question is they were let out because they didn't do those four things.
Correct.
Those four,
they didn't change their names, right. They didn't change their language, they didn't intermarry, they didn't speak Lashon Hara.
Right, but then the Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in that Rashi that now he understands why...
Because there are informers amongst them.
So there was Lashon Hara. There was Lashon
Hara. Okay. But there was also one, it's so interesting, we say they didn't intermarry, but there was one person who did have relations with an Egyptian. Who remembers what her name was? Actually, it relates so much to our learning today. Who remembers her name? Why was she called Shlomis Bas Dibri? Look at the word Shlomis, Shalom, Dibri, Dibur. Why was she called that? So Rashi says, Shlomis Bas Dibri. She said to everyone, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. She was a chatterbox. What got her into trouble with immorality? Her speak. She went around the street saying to everybody, hello, how are you? Hello, how are you? Hello, how are you? Can't be such a chatterbox. You have to know when to tell you she's Bas Dibri. What got her into trouble? Her Dibur, her speech. And who was her son? The Makalal. In the desert, there was the Mekoshesh Eitzim, who was Mechala Shabbos, who was the father of the Benos Slavchad, and there was the Mekala. What was the Mekala, the one who went out and blasphemed? What did he do? He kaviyachol cursed the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. She spoke inappropriately. She made her ruchnius gashmius, and she got into big trouble, and it passed on to her son, who cursed. So there was one person who was Nechsha, and who did have relations with an Egyptian. That was her son, the Mekala, the son of a Jewish woman and an Egyptian. So Dasam and Aviram also were nichshel in this area. Why am I being quiet? Because I don't have the source in front of me, but if I recall correctly, her original husband, I believe, was Dasam. Is everyone with me? You know what I'm talking about or not? We're talking about Egypt. Yes or no? You know what we're talking about? So we said because of four things, Alice asked a question about Achei Noda Hadara. Did they speak Lashon Hara or didn't they speak Lashon Hara? So we said there are always exceptions to the rule. Just like there's an exception to the fact that we didn't intermarry. Who's the exception to the rule? Shlomis Bas Dibri. What got her in trouble? She was a chatterbox. What gets the Mitzvah into trouble? He twirps, chirps like a bird. What gets us into trouble? But I can't hold back my mouth. If you take your spirituality, your chelek alokam mouth, the root of speech neshama, and you bring it down to the level of gashmius, base physicality, so Hashem gives you a physical affliction to show how you abused your speech. So they were informers. It doesn't mean everybody overall had this problem, but Moshe Rabbeinu sees those two, and he says, perhaps because of them, the redemption is being held off, which teaches us something else. Very nice. Look how one person's actions can affect the whole. And that's really how we started. When I hold my tongue, I think, okay, maybe I'm better for my neshama, better for my husband who doesn't have to hear what I have to say, better for the person that I'm not talking about. But it has far-reaching effects past just who I am as an individual. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Dasan Avirim are holding off the redemption. By the way, they weren't, because at the 400th year, in the exact hour when Yitzchak was born, 400 years later, the redemption occurred. But that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. But just like they were nechshal in Kolach HaDibur, Shal Mispas Divri was nechshal with relations, with the mitzvah. What's fascinating is, she abused Kolach HaDibur, allowed the Egyptians to take advantage of her. It led to a son who was nechshal in Kolach HaDibur by cursing Kaviyacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if I'm not mistaken, but I have to look at home, her original husband was Dasan. So trouble gets together, and from that you get a lot of trouble. But what we can take from the story is, number one, first and foremost, not only do we have to protect our own neshama, keep our speech on the level of neshama, but realize that when we speak, we can impact the missiles in, I don't know where they are now, North Korea. I'm really not making a joke. That's what we started our learning. They have arrows, said the Chassam Sofer, and I have arrows. And if I want to hold back their arrows, mida kenega mida, then I have to hold back my arrows. So it's very profound and very relevant. I do want to end from the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, a lesson a day. Before relating negative, any other questions or comments? Before relating negative information, lito alas, for a construction purpose, so that's really what I thought when I was very concerned about the certain other person, generally concerned, but it was just nothing I could do. So telling my husband, how me feel about to discuss it. Really, really concerned, but there's nothing I could do. Are you relating negative information, lito alas? Listen, you will have to consider whether your words will bring about the desired result. Since I cannot accomplish anything by discussing this issue with my husband, even though I am gravely concerned that there's something wrong, I can't bring about a desired result. Speaking negatively to Ellis is justified only if there is a reasonable chance the desired result will be accomplished. The point is of particular importance when it comes to business association, harming a friendship, or a shidduch. Often a final decision has already been made, and speaking negatively will accomplish nothing. Usually we don't do these side pages, we just do the halacha day without the hashkafic part, because we have so much hashkafa combined with halacha l'maisa in the actual learning, but this one is very relevant, because he speaks about Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe for not living with his wife after the Torah had been given. Okay? Miriam did not realize that he needed to always be ready to talk to Kosh Baruch Hu. She was punished with tzara'as. And then the Sefer quotes the pasuk, beware of the tzara'as affliction. You have to beware of the tzara'as affliction. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Why is these two verses juxtaposed? Remember tzara'as, remember what happened to Miriam. The Ramban says, I was so excited when I prepared this, we learned this Ramban inside. Do you remember who was here when we learned the Ramban? We learned the Ramban inside. The Ramban said it would be better not to talk about what Miriam did. Why should he talk about what Miriam did? She was a tzaddikis. Aren't we talking about Lashon Hara every day in the Shei Sechiros when we say, oh, remember what God did to Miriam? When I go give a parsha class on what God did to Miriam, what are you talking about Miriam? She made a mistake. So the Ramban says there, it would have been fitting to conceal this episode, not to disparage the righteous. Nevertheless, the Torah says you should make it known and revealed. Why? Because it can prevent other people from doing great sins. Before speaking about a person with others, you have to try and discuss the issue with the person themselves. So let's say I felt I have this grave concern. Let's say before I discussed it with my husband, which I'm not going to because I can't accomplish anything, B'li Neid or the Yetzer Hara, you know what happens when you say something. I didn't say it aloud to anybody, but the Yetzer comes along and tries to give you reasons, but Azaz Hashem, Hashem should help me keep the speech on the spiritual level. But maybe you can accomplish something before discussing with others with going to the person who is the source.
I was going to say go directly to the person.
Go to the person. Trying to persuade the sinner to change his ways is a course which must be pursued before bringing anyone else into the picture. So if you think it's possible to address the situation directly with the person with whom you have a concern, so go somebody, going to somebody else first. Okay? However, it would not apply if it's difficult, if not impossible, to once again achieve the results. And then finally, we have to remember, Zachar Zashar Hashem Lekechel and Miriam, Bederech B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. It's interesting that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, and it's juxtaposed to leaving Egypt. Bederech B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. Leaving Egypt gave us Koach HaDibur. Don't learn from those two informers. It could have far-reaching effects on everyone else. Don't be like Miriam who spoke Lashon Hara. Make sure you elevate yourself on your count to Har Sinai. And I think the insight we came up with today is absolutely tremendous. two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, two hands, two arms, two legs, two feet, one mouth. Because the source of our speech is source with a capital S. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We have to emulate and make sure that our speech remains on the high level that is absolutely demanded of us, so we will not, chalila, end up being like the Metzora, Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Mashava. And in these final days of Nisan, it should be Zocha that if we hold back our arrows, they hold back their arrows, their stones, their knives, whatever crafty weapons of mass destruction they come up with, should be zocha that our koach hadibur and shemes halashon should bring besuros tovos and yeshuos and geula and simchos. Please, God, for all of Klal Yisrael, all over the world, wherever they may be. Amen, amen, amen. It's still Nisan and the geula can still come. Amen. Ladies, any questions or comments?
Remember, you gave two stories of Parsha, like when someone was walking, praying, and then 11.